Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was watching the Falcons play the Green Bay Packers a few weeks ago, and I saw something happen that day that quite honestly floored me. I was astounded. I was astonished. I can't think of the adjective to describe what I felt. And it was something positive. If you watch pro football, you no doubt are aware that most running backs and receivers now choreograph their touchdown celebrations. That the choreographed touchdown celebrations are now a competition within the competition. I was thrilled to see that Devontae Freeman scored a touchdown. And then I nearly fell out of my chair. Any folks that watch pro football or may have watched the game, you have any clue what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What was that?
He didn't celebrate.
Right.
He handed the ball off.
And what? Yeah. Exactly. He didn't dance. He didn't do a jig. He didn't point up to the sky. He didn't stand on his head. He looked for the lineman that made the block that got him into the end zone, and then he handed the ball to that lineman. The lineman spiked the ball, and together they ran to the sideline. And then Devontae Freeman scored again, and he did the same thing. I've not seen such in a long, long, long time. In a sport where players are greedy for money and recognition, here is a player intentionally sharing the glory. Contrast Freeman's attitude of sharing the glory with a study conducted by Princeton University and posted in Science Journal. In this study, people were offered a financial windfall, but there was one catch. In order to receive the windfall, someone else would receive more than they would. Nearly half of the people canceled the deal because they didn't want someone else getting more than them. Bottom line, I will forfeit my windfall in order to make sure somebody else doesn't get more than me. Now, you know, bringing it a little more to maybe what's in our world. Say you and your neighbor both put your house up for sale. Your house appraises for the same thing. You both overprice it, hoping that when you make the deal, you'll get what it appraised for. Someone comes along and they tell you, I'll give you four times what you're asking for your overpriced house. As long as you're okay with me giving your neighbor eight times what their house is worth. As a TV show used to be, deal or no deal. Somebody this morning said sold. The researchers further analyzed the brain of the people as they were mulling over the decision. They found that the part of the brain that was activated was the part of the brain that processes anger, disgust, and bad smells. Do we not encounter both types of people every day? Which ones seem to be the happiest? Even if we did not consider matters of faith the rest of this morning, we will, but even if we didn't, just as a principle of life, who's happiest? Is it the person who always feels that they are never rewarded as they deserve? Is it the person that is always thankful, always sharing? Is it the person who always feels that something has been taken away from them? In this setting, I think we would pretty much say, well, John, those answers are obvious. But even if they are, knowing an answer intellectually and internalizing and living that answer can often prove a bit more challenging. Paul reminds us through his instruction to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Notice Paul urges us to submit ourselves to the Lord so that our minds are renewed. Now, most of us have witnessed and commented about the state of a person's mindset and their ability to recover from illness or accidents, or at least deal with them in a positive way. Regardless of the ultimate outcome in this life, one's mindset, we all know, dramatically affects their process of the experience and also affects those that are around them in that experience. We've seen persons with illnesses and injury often make a conscious decision as to how they are going to face and deal with their situation. But what about our general mindset? What about our everyday mindset? How do we approach daily life, life in general? It's a sad reality that most people are self-centered. Some persons' self-centeredness is more obvious than others, perhaps because theirs is more intense. But I would contend we all deal with it. Notice I didn't say all of y'all, I said we all deal with it. That's why I was so pleasantly surprised and shocked when Devontae Freeman gave the football to a lineman so that he could spike it. Those of you who watch football, you'll notice today, and I like to watch football. It's the only sport that I care to watch on TV. But you know, today, if you go home and watch any football this afternoon, watch it. Somebody makes a tackle. You got to do a dance. Somebody catches the football. You got to do a dance. If you sack the quarterback, you got to do a 2-minute dance. And if you make a touchdown, it's got to be a five-minute dance. Look at me. Look how great I am. I can't, not only do I make a touchdown, man, I can jig. And I can jig better than the guy over there in the other game. In a sport where it's me, 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 look at me, pay me more money, look at me. You have a running back who seeks out those who have made it possible for him to score, gives them the ball, spikes it, and runs with them to the sideline. You know what he's saying? It's not about me. It's about we. And the funny thing is when we do better, I do better. When we get glory, I get glory. When we do well, I gain. Instead, though, it's so easy to be like those in the Princeton experiment. It just isn't fair. I don't get what I deserve. My neighbor's house shouldn't sell more for mine. Mine was worth more than theirs. My co-worker shouldn't have got that promotion. I should have got it, etc., etc., etc. Add to the list. It's so much more easy to be like the Princeton experiment. But then again, notice what Paul says in Romans 12:3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly than of yourself than you ought to think. Oh boy, he's meddling, isn't he? But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. Paul is not promoting low self-esteem whereby we put ourselves down, even putting ourselves down for a noble cause. Nor is Paul promoting false, notice the adjective, nor is Paul promoting false humility. But in this section, Paul is urging and calling for holy living and unity among God's people. Thus, when we Christians analyze ourselves, we do so from our perspective in our relationship with Jesus Christ, who produces the renewed mind within us. We don't compare ourselves to others. You know, I don't know how many times I've said this from the pulpit, what I'm about to say next. And as long as the Lord grants me life and the bishop lets me stay here, and by the way, I'm not planning on asking to go anywhere, I will say it again and again and again. When we want to feel good about ourselves, what is the easiest thing to do? Turn on the news. Boy, I sure am glad I'm not a sorry politician.
I'm glad I'm not a good one.
I hear you. Man, I'm glad I'm not one of those thugs that just got arrested and put in jail. Man, I'm glad I'm not this. Man, I'm glad I'm not that. Man, I'm good. And I look in the mirror and I say, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
Amen, bro.
But then I invite Jesus into the room. And Jesus stands beside me and we both look in the mirror. All of a sudden, I'm not singing so loud. All of a sudden, I'm not standing so tall. Because I'm not a thing like Jesus. I want to be. I try to be. But I'm not even on the radar screen yet. And so when I compare myself to Jesus, there are two things that come shining through brightly, and I bet you fit in the same category. One is, I am not a thing like Jesus. That is just crystal clear. But number two, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, with all of my flaws, with all of my sins, with all of my shortcomings, with all of my failings, I am declared righteous. And it's not because of me, it's because I'm covered by the blood. So two things are crystal clear when I look in the real mirror. I'm not a thing like Jesus. But because of the blood of Jesus, I've been declared righteous. Maybe some of you resemble that remark. Having our minds renewed in the Spirit of Christ and not viewing ourselves more highly than we should, then we're able to view ourselves in a more sober way and not be focused inward and able to focus outward. And we're able to recognize how we have been blessed by God and then desire to be a blessing to others. An author recounts how they were studying folks during the Great Depression and how they were deep in the Appalachian Mountains. And this person came upon a woman living in a tiny shack with dirt floors, no heat, and no plumbing. During the conversation, the author asked, "What would you do if somebody just came by here and gave you a bunch of money to help you out?" She thought for a little bit, and then she says, "I guess I'd give it to the poor." Quite a different mindset from, if somebody's going to get more than me, I turn down the windfall. This is one of those rhetorical questions between you and God, and me and God. If we let down a screen here, and God broadcast for all to see your mindset, would you want to crawl under this new carpet? Or would you be glad with what you see? I know what I would hope. Can't quite be so sure what I'd really be. God knows our hearts. God knows if we are closer to the Princeton experiment or if we are closer to the lady in the shack. We only have the mindset of the lady in the shack when we have experienced the renewing of the mind by the Holy Spirit. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I know for myself, my mind has to be renewed every single day and sometimes more than once. Because sometime during the day, something's going to happen that I'm going to turn it into an issue about me. My mind needs to be renewed every single day. And when we have received that renewed mind in the Spirit, then we are able to experience where God is at work in our lives, even in the difficult times. With the holidays approaching, a lady by the name of Diane felt like she had absolutely nothing to be thankful for. It had been an awful year, and she wasn't looking forward to Thanksgiving. And so in an attempt to try to cheer herself up, she went to the local florist and thought thought maybe if she got a nice fresh bouquet of flowers that it would lift her spirits. So she was waiting to get the owner's attention, and she noticed the woman at the counter seemed to be giving out or selling bouquets of thorns. And so she was right curious. And so she asked the owner, said, "Did you just sell that person an arrangement of thorns?" And the owner, Linda, said, cheerfully said, "Oh yeah," said, "that's our Thanksgiving special." And so she knew Diane didn't quite understand what was going on. So Linda went on to explain. She talked about how the death of her husband 15 years earlier had been a total shock and how she was totally unprepared for his death. And then she talked about how, though, even within the loss and the struggle, as she dealt with it and she went through that painful process of trying to regain balance in her life, that even in the thorns, God seemed to bring out good things, so that ultimately God had created a beautiful bouquet. Now, as Linda's explaining this, about that time a spirited older man walks in and asks Linda if his thorns were ready. And Linda smiled and said yes and handed him a box with long stem thorny roses with no roses on them. So now Diane was puzzled, and so she asked the man what he was going to do with the thorns, and he said, "Oh, these are for my wife." Now I'm confused. He said, "Every Thanksgiving we take time to appreciate the thorns. The thorns that have carried us through 40 years of marriage. The bouquet of thorns reminds us, helps us refocus on what's important in our marriage and in our lives. For us, each thorn represents a problem we've struggled to overcome." Then he walked out with a pleasant smile on his face. Diane kind of watched what was going on and trying to take all of this in. And then she went and placed her order to Linda. She said, "I'll take a bouquet of thorns." Linda smiled and said, "Good choice." Through minds renewed by the Spirit, we can truly celebrate Thanksgiving. So in case some of you don't pay attention to the sermon titles, today's sermon title is Touchdowns and Thorns. Celebrate your touchdowns. Give glory to the one that enabled you to make the touchdown. Celebrate the touchdowns of your life with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Celebrate your touchdowns. And also in the midst of the difficulties, celebrate the thorns. Not necessarily that you enjoy the thorn. Not necessarily that you would have even invited the thorn. But celebrate that even in the thorns, God has been there. Even in the thorn, you've seen God at work. Even in the thorns, you felt God by your side. Even in the thorns, you've heard God whisper His love in your ear. Celebrate your touchdowns. And celebrate the presence of the God in the thorns. For even in the thorns, God is busy bringing about good. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank You for the blessings that You have lavished upon our lives. Forgive us for our self-centeredness. It just seems to be a human trait that we have to give back to You daily. Lord, help us to celebrate our touchdowns and celebrate you who grants us the ability to make the touchdown. Help us to celebrate your presence, Lord, and in celebrating your presence and your blessings, may we become outward focused as opposed to inward focused. And Lord, we know that life is not always easy. Sometimes the blessings aren't always obvious. Sometimes life is hard and sometimes it brings us grief. But Lord, even in the thorns, you are there. And even in the thorns, you work your good. So Lord, thank you for the touchdowns. And thank you that you're in the thorns. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as always. If you feel led to come and pray for any reason, please do so as we sing our hymn.